Good morning, everyone. I have titled our message today, From a Distance. We'll see how that relates here in just a moment. From a Distance. How many of you are really encouraged to know that you serve a Savior, Jesus Christ, who has said very plainly, very succinctly and clearly, that He did what He saw His Father do? And we want to do what we see Him do. So if we just get that straight, hearing from God to do what He directs, we will be successful. And that is my cry, and that is my desire, is to do what I see Jesus do. I don't want to get ahead of Him. I don't want me to be the leader, Him the follower. It doesn't work. We're to follow Him. And so in all of our requests and all of our intercessions and doubts and fears that we have, we always need to go back to Him and ask Him, you know, what are you doing? What are you saying? Make it clear. Help me to follow you. We need to be doing what He directs, and that is life. I want to share something with you about this and where we're going today with this. Message today. It does have a lot to do with faith. I don't think that we can preach anything and exclude faith. Every single thing that we do and our journey, our walk with Jesus needs to be based on faith, for without it, it's impossible to please Him. So if you want to please the Lord, you better have faith there. Faith in Him. Not in the higher power. As we just heard. Not in the higher power. A lot of people, it's just like they're fearful to step on people's shoes if they say Jesus Christ. But they're easily can relate to a higher power. But we all know that higher power can be influences from this world and Satan himself. But we say His name, Debbie. We say Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. We say Jehovah God, God our Lord, the Father of Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh. We say His name. And I understand why AA and these folks say higher power, because they want to be politically correct. But we want to be faithfully correct by saying His name and who we are in Him. This is so powerful. And Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it you don't need to turn there, but there's a reference there that Oswald made, because God said something, and because God said something, we also may boldly say. That's what that's all about. He has said, God has said, so that we also may boldly say. So we based our boldness, Debbie, on what God has said. There's where that boldness comes from. He has said, so therefore we may boldly say. So Oswald Chambers says on June the 5th, my say-so is to be built on God's say-so. My say-so needs to be built on God's say-so. And when you can say what God has said and say it confidently, you're walking in faith. If you can confidently say what God has said and you're going to follow that and obey that, you're walking in faith. And that will get you someplace. It's going to get you, you know, from walking in the flesh to walking in the spirit. And that is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. God says, I will never leave thee. Then I can with good courage say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. I will not be haunted by apprehension. And I see that in a sister today, knowing that she's going to be sentenced to whatever degree, forever how long. I do not see her haunted by apprehension. That can be horrible. It can be hellish. To be haunted by the what ifs, or what will be, and you don't know that. You don't know the future unless God reveals certain things. But I don't see you haunted by apprehension. Apprehension is fear of uneasiness, anticipation of the future. It also could mean dread. We do not walk that way. We walk in His say-so. How many of you are learning to walk in God's say-so more than your say-so? See, I am getting to a point here where we're going to be talking about, it may be at a distance sometimes that we feel we don't see God. I don't see Him personally right here. I don't see Jesus, but I know him from a distance. I'm in the foyer getting ready to step into the kingdom. But I'm there, you know. But faith will get you into the kingdom. You got to get, and if you're in the foyer, you're trusting God, you're getting ready to make that next step to right into the kingdom. That's there for us. I have not been to heaven. I haven't been there to come back and tell you what it's like. I haven't been there. That's not God's arrangement for right now. But when we get there, we're going to know it. But I know it's there, even though at a distance, I'm on my way to it. But it's there. And by faith, I will reach my destination, my destiny. Wow, this is powerful. I will never leave thee. You know that. Then I can with good courage say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not be haunted by apprehension. Who is the haunter? If we're going to talk about haunting. Who is the haunter of our thoughts? Who wants to badger us into unbelief? Who wants to lead us into doubt, fear, apprehension? All these things. Who haunts us that way? If it isn't the great haunter himself, Satan. He wants to come and spread cobwebs up there in the attic to get us confused. You know, maybe God didn't say this, or maybe Jesus didn't die for you. Maybe it's all a hoax. Maybe he wasn't crucified. Maybe he wasn't buried. Maybe he didn't resurrect. And Satan will do everything he can up to the last second in Jesus' life to destroy what he was out to do, and that is to die for us that we may live. He wanted to destroy Jesus. We have many examples of that. Satan was there to haunt all the time. This does not mean that I will not be tempted to fear. But I will remember God's say-so. I will remember God's say-so. Let's just take one of God's say-so. Anyone have in your heart right now one of God's say-sos? That will require some memory here. Is anyone here right now, can you say one of God's say-so?
We'll never leave you.
That's it. Now, And you didn't say the rest of it. I will never leave you. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And you didn't say the rest of it, but you said enough of God's say-so to keep you from being haunted by the doubts and fears that Satan wants to throw at you. You have been excused from work. You have been sent home. And so now you can say right here to us, he will never leave me. That's one of God's say-sos. See, that eliminates, that destroys, that casts out the haunting.
He still sneaks in.
But he will try to sneak in. Yes, he will, Kathy. And how often will he try to sneak in?
All day, every day.
June is saying right now, you are saying he will never leave me. Now, if I were to follow you 24/7, you may have some times when I don't know what's going on. I don't have my job anymore. No one, Kathy's not here, and Debbie's not here today, and I haven't seen Lisa, and you know? That can be very real. He will try to slip in, even though right now you are saying he will never leave me, and that's good because it's coming from your heart. He will never leave me. What's another one of God's say-so that you can use to destroy the haunting that comes to destroy your faith in God? What's another one? Lisa? Shelly.
Trouble.
What's that?
I will be a help in times of trouble.
I will be a help in times of trouble. You seem to indicate there's going to be trouble. Or there's going to be hard times. Yes, there will, but God says, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you. Michelle?
He has written my name in the palm of his hand.
He has written your name in the palm of his hand. You know, you can recall this. You can say this. You can declare this. My name is with him. Not you, adversary. Not you, you haunting spirit. I am God's child. I have been forgiven. Has anyone ever doubted God's forgiveness for the stupid things that you have done in your life? Terrible things. Sin. Sin upon sin. Layer upon layer. I mean, just sinful. There's not one without sin. Have you ever had a wave where you feel that, I know you have, God, but right now, look what I did, and look at all that happened. And have you ever doubted? Anyone ever doubt or go through periods when you doubt?
There's a song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, because there's a reason why he don't answer them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, for our good.
For our good.
Yes, for our good. Always for our good.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Greater is he who is in me than he who is in you.
That's nuclear. Set a bomb off. Get out of here. Resist him. Leave me with your thoughts, Satan coming against me. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
There is therefore now no condemnation.
So powerful.
Amen.
So powerful. You ever doubt your salvation, there is therefore Monday.
No.
This is Sunday, right? Therefore, Monday, I'm going to be forgiven. I had a discussion about this nowness.
Oh, wow.
I had, what's that?
Oh. I just got that.
Yeah. No. That's why we're going to stay there just a moment. I had a discussion with someone recently about this nowness. And we were having a good time. Another brother in the Lord works with me. We were just really having a good time. And so he asked me about the scripture that says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I said to him, when is that sun going down? In the fullness of that meaning, when is the sun going down? What did he really mean? You can do what you want to do, have all the wrath you want from 6 a.m. until about 8 o'clock or 8:30. That's what the scripture says. So I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to be scriptural. I'm going to be a godly man. But right now, the Lord said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So I can have a little fun with this wrath until just right before the sun goes down. So the sun going down is when?
Always.
Every day.
Yeah. It's a now thing.
Never goes down.
If you stay ahead of it, you get in a plague. I tell you.
There you go. That's true.
Kathy, you something else.
It rotates around.
But if you get in a plane, you can stay ahead of it. It never will set. You know, just if you can run fast enough. I don't think you can run that fast. But the sun going is now. So what does that do when you're in a conversation with someone, or Shirley and I are having a disagreement, which I don't know if that ever happens to you or not, but there are times when we don't agree for us and everything.
Never
happens. or that maybe even among siblings, Michelle and Vanessa have never had a disagreement. I don't know. But don't let the devil come in with his influence to destroy relationships. And so don't let the sun go down there, right there in that moment. He who knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. And if there's anything within you that has the ability to be a peacemaker, then be a peacemaker. You, even though they don't, you have to. And this friend I was talking to, we're talking about relationships between man and woman, husband and wife. So he was telling me some things, and I said, but it doesn't matter what somebody else does. What you do matters. And if I could talk to the other person, I would say what you do matters in this moment. It matters to the Lord, and the sun applies to both of you. So if one is still wanting to, hold on for a while and still be kind of squirrely and all that kind of stuff until the sun goes down, then they're being deceived because they're not understanding what God is saying. So God will check you in the moment. There is therefore, and in that moment also, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, even though you had a moment of flesh, even though feathers were flying and fur was flying around. But it is now. The Lord says that was then. Yeah, but Lord, it was only 2 minutes ago. You talk about now? I mean, really, now? No condemnation? Shouldn't I let this stew for a while and maybe tomorrow? And you're talking about now? The Lord said, yeah. Do you understand what now means? I mean, now. We can all understand that, right? Now? You know? And so it's imperative for us to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so when we do that, there's going to be health and healing and changes in our life and growth. And there's all the gates of hell cannot stand against the work of God in an individual's life. It may seem like I'm not in heaven right now and I'm not there right now, but I really want to have that relationship right now. And to me, it's imperative that we press in here. Really imperative. Have you ever been in a situation where feathers were flying, and You ever see two cats fight? I mean, I don't see how they can survive. I don't see how cats can survive based upon what I see them doing when they're fighting, whether it be two lions or two just house cats. Man, they absolutely have the fur flying. And so we have done that. Maybe not physically, but in our heart, we've done that. The fur's been flying, and all that bitterness is there and everything. And yet, do you think that ever happens to a Christian? Or is that just the world that does that stuff? Ever happens to a Christian? It happens to God's children. We get frustrated. But what should be happening is, over a period of time, there should be growth. We shouldn't be doing what we were doing as often. And then you...
Less fur.
Less fur. I like that. Less fur. And so it's good, though, to be growing and to be seeking God and to be quoting to the devil what God has said. God's say-so. I heard a lot of good say-sos here. As we go forth in this world, we say them, we mean them, we live it, and God rescues us. I will remember God's say-so. I will be full of courage like a child bucking himself up to reach the standard his father wants. Bucking himself up like a child to reach the standard his father wants. Wow. Faith in many a one falters when the apprehensions come. They forget the meaning of God's say-so. Forget to take a deep breath spiritually. Wow. It says, faith in many a one falters when the apprehensions come. They forget the meaning of God's say-so. Forget to take a deep breath spiritually. Wow. Take a deep breath spiritually, regroup, and say, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to do what I know to do, what I hear you saying for me to do, and I'm going to experience the salvation in that process in that moment. And you will. And you're going to grow. The only way to get the dread out of us is to listen to God say so. I hate the dread. I hate the dread. I hate me when I'm me. It doesn't happen very often, but I hate me when I'm me. And I don't know how many of you ever watch American Idol or not, but I'm not really crazy about it, but I do watch. I'm kind of curious to see what's going on. But how many of you watched it recently when you saw this gentleman who did unbelievable balancing on something was round and turned this way, and something was up like a cylinder this way, then the cylinder was turned that way, and he turned another one this way, and there's about four or five of those things that he had to balance. It's just unbelievable when you got cylinder this way and cylinder this way. And so, but he wasn't successful. He fell. He was okay. He fell, and there was a ring of fire around him, and he fell. But one thing he did in the moment that was uncharacteristic for someone trying to be cool. After he fell, he did what I pictured us doing. He took one of those cylinders. None of them were connected. They're all loose, and he just fell. And everybody's watching him, and millions of people are watching. What'd he do?
Kicked it.
He turned around, boom, like that, and he walked up to the mic, and I sensed that he was disappointed in himself. He lost his cool. You ever see an athlete lose their cool on a basketball court or something like this? Even walk up and they're punching a ref or something. Well, that'll cost you a long time in the cooler, you know, for doing something. But they lose their cool at times. Have you ever lost your cool?
Amen.
If not physically, have you lost your cool in your heart? Yes. We do that at times. But if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, you know, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. We'll have our fellowship with him unbroken. What are you dreading? You are not a coward about it. You are going to face it, but there is a feeling of dread. There's a parallel here with Debbie. She knows she's going to face something, but I don't see the dread. She knows she has to face it. I don't see the dread. When there is nothing and no one to help you, say, but the Lord is my helper, June. There is no one around. None of the children are there. You're not on the phone with them. But you can say, here's one of God's say-so. It says right here, it says, say, but the Lord is my helper. This second in this present outlook. And you're going to grow. The Lord is my helper in this present outlook. You're in line. You waited whatever, how long it was to get in line. You finally get up to the cashier and she says, you know, yes, I see you have a coupon, but it's not the right one. That expired 10 minutes ago. Hey, come on, let's talk. There is no talking. I'm thorough in what I do. My manager praises me for what I do. I'm very good at what I do. And 10 minutes is 10 minutes. I'm not going to honor your coupon. And you could lose it. You could lose it. So many different situations in our life that we know where we are and what's going on in the heart. If there's really a change in your heart, you're going to look to the Lord and say, Lord, you're my helper here. I know I waited all this time and it's not really worth $2 anyhow for me to lose my cool. I'm not going to kick the can. I'm not going to kick the bucket. I'm not going to kick her. But you might go outside and kick the side of your car door. You didn't hurt nothing but your foot. Praise the Lord. God is teaching us. Are you learning to say things after listening to God? Or are you saying things and trying to make God's word fit in? God will not fit in to our directives. We have to fit in to His directives. And that's what you desire. You're talking a little bit. You desire to fit in with what God is directing. Isn't that simple? You just simply want to be plugged in to what God is plugging in. Like the old switchboard. You just want to be plugged into what God is plugging into. I do. That's success. That's a walk of faith. Wow. Get hold of the Father's say-so and then say with good courage, I will not fear. It does not matter what evil or wrong may be in the way. He has said, I will never leave you, June, nor forsake you. He will never give you a rock for a fish. He doesn't trick you. Frailty is another thing that gets in between God's say-so and ours. When we realize how feeble we are in facing difficulties, the difficulties become like giants. We become like grasshoppers, and God becomes a non-entity. Remember God's say-so, I will in no wise fail you. Have we learned to sing after God's keynote? Are we always possessed with the courage to say, the Lord is my helper, or are we succumbing? Well, I tell you what, we're going to be more successful as we trust God and know what God has said and walk confidently in what God has said. We're going to be successful. Therefore, by the grace of God, go I. And even though one day, Debbie, you may hear that little, and I've seen that in loved ones, and it's going to be a day of preparation for you, a day of triumph, because you know that God is not a higher power. He is power. He is all. He is the great creator. He made everything. He was before anything existed. And you're going to know that. But you're going to have the comfort that only God can give you. And you're going to be able to share that comfort with others. And it'll be a season.
She's already said to me, I am not afraid.
I know. I hear it repetitively.
Before here.
Yes.
I'm not afraid.
Praise the Lord. But I see a confidence building, and there's a reason for that, because God knows you're going to need that confidence. Very good. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Praise the Lord. There's some other folks that said, yes, from a distance, I have a relationship. I'm not with God right now, but I'm so bound to Him that I'm not going to fail Him. I'm not going to quit for anything. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there with me, if you would, just for a few moments to make this point. Hebrews chapter 11. What do you know about Hebrews chapter 11? What can you say about the folks in Hebrews chapter 11? Where are we going with that? It's called the Hall of what? Hall of Faith. Many, many examples here for Christians today to read about these people who had faith even unto death. It didn't matter. They weren't going to leave the Lord. They were not going to forsake Him. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. of all these people. We're not going to read through all. I'm just going to say to you in that first verse there, and you have it in your handout, what faith is. We know that. We've read that before. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. You know, however you want to illustrate it. Here we have emptiness. There's nothing there, Debbie. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it over here, but you do by faith. You see it. I don't see the kingdom of God right now. I don't see heaven right now and all the things that Revelation talks about heaven. I don't see it right now, but it's more real to me than looking at myself here. That's being bound to the Lord. That's knowing that, having that in my heart, and no one is ever going to take that away. I know that. Heaven is real. It's there. It's for me. I'm in the foyer. I'm ready to enter, but at God's time, we will enter into the kingdom, the presence of Him forever. But in the meantime, God is the very present help in time of need. We have the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of God. We have God in us right now. We have the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We know that by faith. We exercise that belief. We walk in that belief. But it is real. It is real. So faith is the substance of things hoped, the evidence of things not seen. It's real. And faith is a binding relationship. Shirley brought one time taffy. And we took one colored taffy and another colored taffy, whether it was pink or yellow, and we just kept molding it, molding it, molding it. When the taffy became, we became one with Christ. We became one with Him. We're all one. It's not separate anymore. It's all one. So faith is to be bound with Him. It means to bind as one. And these people knew that. And so, look at this down in chapter 11, verse 13. It talks about a lot of people here having faith in God regardless of what happened to them. But in verse 13 it says, all these that it just talked about died in what?
Faith.
You die in faith, you're going to be just fine. You don't want to die in doubt. You want to die in faith. You may be doubting at times and have your times of doubting and bouts and stuff. But overall, I'm just talking, you're a child of God. You're walking by faith. Don't think God's going to throw you out because you have a bad hair day. Or you just duked it out with somebody. You are God's child. You had a moment of the flesh. You asked God to forgive you. Don't let the sun set on your wrath. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. You are God's child. Just because you slammed the door in anger, and you know you slammed it in anger, you know, you slammed it, and that was not of God, it doesn't mean you're not God's child. It's just a moment of flesh. You get over it. How many times I have to tell you to clean your room up? You can say that in a nice, wise, parental way, or you can say that in the flesh. How many times do I have to tell you to clean your room up? That can be all straight flesh. The child knows it, and you know it. Or you can simply say as a mature, you know, parent, say, you know, look, we've talked about this before. You know you need to clean your room. If you don't clean your room up, then there's going to be repercussions. You know, just say it in the spirit. You know, they may not like it, but it's true. It's something that you need to say. It's something you need to do, but you can say it in the flesh. Is that true? We can get fleshy saying things that seem right. And traffic can be a real testing of your faith. The light is green. You've already waited for two lights because it's a very short light, and the person in front of you is not moving. In fact, you can't even see their head over the seat. And sure enough, your imaginations as to who that may be, when you get up beside them and finally pass them by gritting your teeth, it's a little old tiny man or a little old tiny woman that is, you know, 90 years old or whatever, trying to see. But you see, we're not patient with them. We're not where they are. That's where they are. And so we're behind them on the verge of cursing and all kinds of stuff and railing at them. Not good. Not good. But does God love you? Yes. you're just manifesting the flesh. Until you learn to look to the Lord and not do that, you're going to go around a circle again and again and again until you learn that. All these died in faith. In verse 13, Hebrews chapter 11, they died in faith. They died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it what? They make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And so here we have folks that have been faithful unto death. They died in faith, not receiving the promises, but they have seen them and having welcomed them, the promises, from a distance. So today, we also, I walk in my hope of living eternally with Jesus Christ. It may be a distance right now, but I welcome it and make it real today. If you're walking in faith today, knowing and receiving all that God has for you, all the future of eternity with Him, we cannot comprehend it. Our carnal minds cannot. If we were to be put in heaven right now, and just for 2 seconds, you would come back. You would come back stammering. You couldn't even. You wouldn't even be able to describe it. We know God knows that. So that is there for us when we have our new body. Then we'll be able to comprehend it. We'll know Him as He has known us. I've said that before. It's a powerful scripture. We're going to know Him as He has known us when we're there. And so they died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having welcomed them at a distance. I don't have to go to China today to come back and tell you Beijing is really there. I don't have to go to Moscow to come back and tell you Moscow is real. And stand in Red Square. I know it's real. I know it's there. It's the same analogy. Except that's an earthly thing. I'm talking about a heavenly thing. The reality is there. They welcomed at a distance those things that God had for them. And indeed, verse 15, this is so powerful. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. What does this mean to you? Let's make it real. That's a powerful word, opportunity. It also, to me, indicates free will. If they were thinking of the country that they came out of, or Egypt,
that's what I was thinking,
which is the world, because some of them did, right? They were on their way. Hey, we remember the food that we had, the leeks that we had, and all the delicacies. What are you doing bringing us out here in the wilderness, Moses? Well, it wasn't Moses that was bringing them out in the wilderness, Ted. It was God using Moses to bring them out of the bondage that they were in for 400 years. You see how we think, though? I want to go back. What does that remind you of, going back? Can you remember a scripture about someone going back? I wasn't thinking of that one right now. Yes, she did. She looked back because she was what? Friends and whatever. Don't look back. Lot's wife looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. Was it? You remember something about a dog returning?
Oh, vomit.
Yeah, you don't want to be like a dog returning to its vomit. I've seen that, literally. I've seen them do that. I don't understand that, but I've seen them do that. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3.
It's chapter 3 and it's verse...
Read it, Ted, real loud. Once we've been delivered, Ted's checking out. Once we've been delivered, you don't want to go back to what you've been delivered from. What's it say? All right, in verse 15, once again, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had went out, they would have had opportunity to return. Some of them actually went through that process and wanted to forget this trip with Moses and God in the wilderness, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. So foolish. But as it is, in verse 16, as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What's that, Ted?
I'm sorry, 2 Peter 2.
2 Peter 2.
And it starts at verse 21. Would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, to have known it, and then to turn back on their on the sacred command that was passed on to them. On to the Proverbs are true, that a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing.
Back to her wallowing. I experienced that too on the farm in Ohio, where you get the pigs cleaned up once in a while and wash them down with a hose, and they go right back in the mud. I said, you guys. But that's what he's talking about right there. So if they wanted to go back, they had opportunity to go back. Who wants to go back from what God delivered you from? Even though God's still working on it, we talk about those layers. Remember the layers? You take the layers off, and all of a sudden take the last layer. We can see a lot more better now. So how many of you know that God is still doing a work in your life? And that's an ongoing process. But we can walk in salvation today. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I want to go on. But you will always have an opportunity to go back. There's so much here to be said about a relationship with the Lord can be very, very present. It doesn't have to be so distant, although right here they're talking about, these people right here in verse, having welcomed what God had for them from a distance. You know, we do that so because we're not in heaven right now. But right now, I don't want a distant relationship with Him. I want to be a very present relationship with the Lord. I want to walk in Him now. I want to do what I see Him do. I want to be successful in that. And the only way, Debbie, that we're going to be successful is for you not to be just quoting scriptures, but to really believe that from your heart that God is going to be with you no matter what may come. And He will. And God is building you up for that. He's building all of us up for that. Now, today I want to close with an illustration of an opportunity of a person who had the opportunity to go back, but they chose not. Even though it cost them their life, they chose to believe and have faith and to be bound to the Lord regardless, having welcomed God's salvation from a distance. And I want to share that with you in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I don't know how many of you have this or not, or have seen some of these illustrations. We have shared some of these with you in the past at times. But this man here was bound to the Lord. He had a relationship with Him, but he was also being asked to recant so he could live. And so, doesn't the devil also want us to recant of this foolishness, this walk that we're in? It's so encouraged to see our young ones focused on the Lord. No desire to go back. They're going to go on with the Lord. They're going to grow in the Lord. They're going to seek God. It's so wonderful to see that. But here's a testimony of a man who had an opportunity to live in this world. But what did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So listen, these are not very long. It's short, brief, and powerful. But this man, Lawrence Guest, was a tall, good-looking man who had influential friends, which for a time kept the bishops from burning him. Instead, he was locked in prison for 2 years while they attempted to make him recant his testimony. You see, the Catholic Church at that time, there was no foolish talk about being any other mediary. The bishops, the popes were the intercessors. You don't go straight to God, you go through them. And they said, no, we go through Jesus. You don't count anymore. So they didn't want to hear that. And so here he is, good looking, a handsome man, tall. It says, when he would not recant a date was set for his burning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Only demonic and evil influences would do this to a child of God. The Spirit of God doesn't burn the Spirit of God. It's so evil. And it was in the church. Guest was married with 7 children. When he was brought to the stake, the authorities placed his family before him, hoping they could convince him to save his own life at the last minute. His wife begged Guest to save himself, but he refused, asking her not to stand in his way, for he was running a good race toward salvation. See, toward salvation, in salvation. In order to follow Christ, Guest was forced to renounce not only his own life, but also the family he loved. Wow. I mean, what choice? He had a choice, but there's no choice. 7 kids in front of him. Did he love them? Of course he did. I mean, of course he loved his family. But what a tormenting thing to place the family in front of you and say, now, if you recant, you can live with them. You can live with them and watch them get married and Susie get married and Billy get married and the grandkids and play with your grandkids and have fun with your grandkids. Don't you want that, man? All you got to do is recant of this foolishness that you believe. We'll let you live. Wow. And so he did not deny. He didn't go back. He didn't take the opportunity to go back, but he went forward. Where is he today? He's with the Lord. He didn't deny his Lord. He didn't recant what he knew was true. Oh, they figured they knew the Lord, but they knew the Lord their way. You know, you go through God through us. You know, don't say you go through Christ. That does away with our value. It does away with our livelihood. We get money out of this, you know? And so he did not recant. And they burned him at the stake. And so I thank God for... See, he's not here in Hebrews 11. But Hebrews 11 does say... Let me just close with this. Hebrews does say in Hebrews 11, verse 37 through 40, it does say this about some folks. Right before this, it talks about people escaping the sword. But look at this group of people in verse 37, Hebrews 11. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their, what? Faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And what they're talking about there, Jesus had not been crucified when they were talking about these people that he shed his blood for them. But at this point, they share the redemption in Christ Jesus with us. You know, after Jesus was crucified, they shared with the redemption that there is in Christ Jesus. Before that, they had faith, but they had it according to what? God's laws and rules and regulations and the priesthood and the forgiveness of their sins through the sacrifice of the animals and the shedding of blood of bulls and goats, but not the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ. Today, all of them with us share the freedom there is in Christ Jesus. But they suffered for their faith, but did not recant. They were faithful unto death. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith is a powerful thing. Have you all experienced opportunities to have faith in God? And everything within you said, you're crazy, you're crazy, you're crazy. We've all had opportunities, haven't we? To run, scared, to be dreadful. And that's what Satan wants. He wants the church running. He wants the church scared. The days in the future may be very interesting for us. Very interesting. It's that way because of what I see mankind doing. They're forsaking God. They're not exalting God. Our government is. our county governments, our state governments, our national governments, they are not going God's way for the most part. And I'm very concerned. And so, church, let us pray. Let us seek the face of God. Let's pray for revival. For those of you that may be listening today, I pray that you will pray for revival. If you don't know the Lord, I pray that you will come to know Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who shed His blood, gave His life for you. If you don't know that, you need to know that, because heaven is real and hell is real, and there's a destiny for every mankind. Once you're born from the womb of a woman, once you are born, you will never die. You will live forever, either in heaven or hell. Make Jesus your choice. Make Him the heavenly choice. Forsake the judgment that is to come upon those who do not have Jesus Christ in their life. I beg of you to do this. I implore you to do this. For you that may be listening as Christians, may you be encouraged to know it is not possible to please God without faith, without being bound to Him. Do that 24/7 in your walk with Him. God bless you.